Therefore, I say to you, be not solicitous. Words, my friends in Christ, taken from the gospel for today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When I was up to Milwaukee for my father's funeral a few weeks ago, I noticed that an announcement had arrived at the church there early in the summer about the 40th class reunion from my seminary high school. Unfortunately, the notice came a little bit too late for me to arrange to be at the reunion. It, in fact, was held yesterday in Milwaukee. 40 years. And that makes me think back to the 25th anniversary reunion of my seminary high school. That was in 1994. My generation was the very last in the minor seminary high school to receive the old classical education. Because of the disaster of Vatican II, only a small number of us actually ended up as priests. Most went on to marry and pursue successful careers. This goes to show you that a classical education can, if it's well done, can prepare you for just about anything. One interesting note is that most of my classmates went on to careers of service to others in one way or another. I found that very interesting and very significant, and I think it was a product of the good religious formation that we received. I talked at that 25th anniversary with one of my classmates, spoke with him actually quite extensively. I remember him from the minor seminaries being a very pleasant fellow. He was always smiling. He always had a good word, very diligent about his duties. At a certain point, though, like most of my classmates, he left, and he concluded that the priesthood was not the vocation for him. He completed the rest of his education, and he married a very lovely woman. He was told shortly after they were married, when she went for a medical examination, that unfortunately there's some condition that she had, and they would never be able to have children. That was a real shock for him, because he saw his vocation as being the father of the family, and he became very angry at that, and angry particularly with Almighty God. And he thought that this was a punishment to him for having left the seminary. But then they had 4 children in succession, beautiful children, lovely children. So his anger was forgotten. His wife, shortly after 4th child, went to the doctor, and there was something ominous. It turned out that she had a form of cancer that advanced very rapidly. There's nothing that could be done about it. So very quickly, she died a terrible and a painful death. And again, this fellow got angry with God. His heart was filled with a spirit of rebellion. So he was a young man. He had 4 young children. He was all alone to care for them. He was seething with anger, inconsolable. And he turned it over and over in his heart. It made him bitter and angry. And he spent many sleepless nights. One night, he picked a Bible off the shelf, and he distractedly opened it And he looked on a page. And he said to me, "So help me God, this is true, that the passage I came upon was this, that even though a mother leave her children, I will not abandon you, saith the Lord." He saw this as the hand of God. His bitterness dissipated, and he married a young widow with children of her own. It is impossible to know all the details of divine providence for us. The great temptation that people have, the great temptation that this classmate of mine had, was to try to audit the books of God. And having done that, to say that you have abandoned me, I know better for myself and for others. So one sizes up the situation. We do that with our little minds. We solve the problem. We tie it up with a neat bow. And we become angry and desolate if God does not go along. But it doesn't work that way. That's the story of the Jews, God's chosen people. Election and rejection, their hardness of heart. And who would have thought, looking at the history of the Jews, that eventually what they did would lead to the conversion of the Gentiles and indeed of the whole world and the spread of the one true religion throughout the world. How inscrutable are God's judgments and how unsearchable are his ways. But we do know one end, we do know one purpose, that God has our salvation in mind. The setbacks and the adversities we experience in temporal things are a reminder that true happiness can never lie in them, that this life is only a preparation for another life, and the value of the things of this world is very relative indeed. Or why, do we ask? And why so many times did the psalmist ask? Why do the wicked prosper? No one is entirely evil. And the goods of this world may be granted to some. And as a result of that, they may end up damned forever. And this shows us the danger of the goods of this world, of mammon, as the Holy Gospel says today. Be nothing solicitous, our Lord warns. For divine providence takes care of all. An example of the danger is Lazarus and Dives and the rich man. This shows us the difference between God's judgment and ours, that anyone seeing the rich man eating and the poor man begging would have made a different judgment, that one is really favored by divine providence and the other has been cursed by it. Yet God all along was seeking the happiness of Lazarus. Lazarus, in the design of God, would save his soul in poverty. Perhaps he would have lost it in wealth. So God chose those elements which would accomplish his salvation, even though, from the point of view of men, they would not understand. And there is another end, too, for what we see. And that is God's glory, that not all will reach salvation. Some will be condemned. But that does not mean that God failed. God gives each man knowledge. He gives each man will. And whatever man chooses, God's will ultimately is done. And God does draw good from evil. For from the fury of the persecutors comes the heroism of the martyrs and their patience and their virtue. And from the cruelty of the rich comes the forbearance and comes the resignation of the poor. All works to the glory of God. So when we question the purpose of God and of his providence and the different elements of it that we see from our limited perspective and our limited vision, we have to remember that the end or the purpose for which God is working is the universal good. But sometimes one has to suffer for another. We don't always appreciate this. It's because we have a very narrow view as we try to audit the books of God. But God sees all. He provides for, he works out all things, great and small, for his honor and glory. Remember the words of today's gospel. Be nothing solicitous. God provides. And even though a mother leave her children, I will not abandon you, saith the Lord. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.